You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
I want to share with you a message. Simply, I call it the gift of living. The gift of living. And then if you notice the bottom, it says instruction manual required. It's no good to get a gift if you don't have the instruction manual to know how to open up and how to work that gift. Looking out over all the Christmases that I've had, we've had some wonderful Christmases. Anybody can look back over the Christmas that you had and notice you had some great, great times. I remember one of my favorite, I have a lot of favorite Christmases. I'll tell you one of my favorite in just a minute. I'll tell you one talking about this whole instruction manual. Remember, baby, when you bought me that bike? That green bike, I still got it. She bought me this bike for Christmas. And I had this big old box up under the tree. And I was so excited. What is this big old box? And I go by and kind of shake it because I wanted to figure out what it was. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And I tried to shake it because I tried to get information. I wanted to see. And it wasn't until I unwrapped it and, I saw the information, what it was. It was a bike because it had the picture. It said what it was, Schwinn bike. And I was like, yes, I wanted this. This is beautiful. I love this. See, because it had the information on the outside. But it had the instructions on the inside. And that bike wouldn't have done me any good if I just would have set that big box up there with the box inside, the bike inside it, and I just all year long said, look at what my wife got me. She got me a bike. There it is. And they say, is that a bike? Well, it's a bike. Look at the outside. It's the information of the bike is right there. It's a bike. Look, you got the picture. It says Schwinn bike. I'm so excited. I got a bike. But the gift never would have done me any good until I opened the big gift up. It still wouldn't have done me good because the truth was my baby, you know, she a for real shopper, but she ain't gonna put no bike together. She knows how to shop. She went and found the best deal for that bike. She found that bike. She bought it and bought it back to me. When I got the bike, it was all these pieces of metal just put together. They could have just put the whole just in the raw form of ore in there. And I would just know. I mean, it was just all metal and bolts, and it was just all there. I had to take the instruction manual and take the time to figure out how to put that thing together. But I can tell you today that to this day, that thing is still put together well because I followed the instruction manual. Now, I could have depended on the information that was on the outside of the box and called myself just as happy. But the truth is, I wouldn't have been able to appreciate the gift. Because you see, many of us, we go by the information of the Word of God. We go by the information, but you got to go beyond formation, and because the form is just the outside. You got to open up the box and get to the instruction, okay? Because instruction has to do with structure, how things hold up. You see, this building we're in, it has structure. It's just not a form. It's just not an outside shell, but it has structure to it, to the point that when hard times comes, it can hold up because it's been structured right. And God's word gives you instruction, which is structure for your life. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody right now, but I'm just talking. You know, I'm just talking. But God's word gives you structure for your life that when hard times come, you can have something that's stronger than you to hold up on the inside of you. You can put something to your backbone that when storms come, you can stand straight because you got structure. Has anybody ever been instructed by God's word? You've been instructed by truth. So I want to encourage you in this message the next couple of minutes that I want to share with you what I like to call the gift of living. Bottom line, the instruction manual is required. Going back to favorite gifts, I want to take you back to a year way back in the day, 1971. Actually, February 5th. This is a picture of February 5th, 1971. This was the Mission Antares. It marked the landing of the Antares, which was the third successful manned mission to the moon. Some of y'all go back that far. How many of y'all go back that far? Okay, you remember that? Nixon, Richard Nixon was president. U.S. Supreme Court on that year, they ruled an order to bus children to school to achieve desegregation. Did we get there yet? I'm just wondering. Anybody, did we get there? I'm just trying to see. It was 71. I'm trying to. I was 4 years old. And there's two things I remember for that Christmas. One was my favorite gift that I got. I don't have a picture of it, but some of y'all may go back. I got that Christmas G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. Never forget it. I remember as a kid, man, squeezing that G.I. Joe because I was just watching that Kung Fu grip and I was like, I will rule the world with this. It was another thing that I remember that particular Christmas because an album came out that year that my mama and my uncles and them loved, and they played that album over and over and over again. It was some of y'all may go back to this. It was an album by a man by the name of Marvin Gaye, and the name of the album was called What's Going On. He released the album in May 21st, 1971, and it was the first Marvin Gaye album that was created, and it was produced completely by himself. He produced his own album, finally, and the album kind of told the point of going to play the music. It played, and it talked about the view of someone coming back from the Vietnam War. After fighting, and he spent all that time fighting for something that was great, and then he came back to his own country, and he wanted to ask, what's going on? And so the whole song, 9 songs, it's what they call, they went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because it was this, what they would call a circular album. It was a concept album because it had only 9 songs on it. Started with a reprise and it ended with a reprise. And, some of y'all don't know about that. Y'all don't know about that? I may have to stop that because we're in church and I'm feeling that thing, boy, right there. One particular song that he did is the one that you're hearing right now, and some of y'all don't remember all of the lyrics, so I'm gonna pull up the lyrics on the screen, and we gonna have church. We gonna have church. Ooh. Y'all ain't ready. I want you to listen to the words he said. If you know it, don't go with it. He said, "Rockets." Moonshots. Spend it on. The have-nots. Money. We make it. But before we see,
you take it.
Then he said, makes me wanna. And then what he said? He said, makes me wanna. Then he says, this that I'm dealing with,
baby,
look at this next part, I love it. He said, inflation, if you know it, sing it with me.
Inflation,
no chance. To increase.
Finance.
Woo! Bills pile up.
Uh-huh. Sky high.
Come on.
Send that boy off.
Come on, let me hear. He says, the problem is this is not really, this ain't living. It's amazing to me that this prophetic oracle that this man used to describe the state that he was in 35 years ago still applies to us. How in the world could this man write this song from the depths of his soul where he's asking the question, what's going on? And when he started looking at what's going on around him, he came with a conclusion, wait a minute. This ain't living. Question for you this Christmas. Are you investing into existing or are you investing into living? Because some things that we're doing is just putting more investment and more energy and more ideas into existing. And I got news for you, baby. Your new iPhone is just for you to exist. Your new clothes is just for you to exist. Your new hat, your new shoes is just for you to exist. But if you ever figure out how to get on your knees and cry out to your God, you might figure out how to do some living and not just existing. Because I'm tired of just existing and using that as an excuse to call it living. I think that I'm going to agree with Prophet Gaye and call him, yeah, I think you were right, Marvin Gaye. This around me, it ain't living. So how do I get to a place of living? I got news for you. You know what's really living? You know what's really living? Put it down in your notes. You know what's truly living? Rolling with Jesus. That's living. Being on an adventure of life with Jesus, where he tells you to turn right and you turn right, where he tells you to turn left and you turn left, where he tells you to stop and you stop. Because you're doing what Pastor read to us earlier. You diligently seek to obey God. And if you do that, then you really find out what living is about. See, this story in the book of Luke, the sixth chapter, it kind of tells us this story, what happened. Same concept. Because in the book of Luke, Jesus gets around these same type of young men who are all men who are disenfranchised, who are being, their heads and their shoulders will be being pressed on by the heel of their oppressor, and they were trying to figure out what life is truly about, and they came to the conclusion that Prophet Marvin Gaye came to years later, that everything around me that they're saying this is so cool, it ain't really living. And all of a sudden Jesus appears and he tells them, follow me and I'll show you what really living is really all about. So we go to the book of sixth chapter of the book of Luke, and in this Jesus, I'll tell you why it's living, because the Bible says that the day that Jesus decided to choose those people, that he wanted to show them what truly living was about and pass that on to the next generation, the Bible says it was so important to Jesus that he actually stayed up all night long and prayed all night long. Look at the first part of this passage that we're going to read in the 12th verse. It says, one of those days, what days? The days of Jesus' life, when we really got a glimpse of what living is all about. And Luke, he says, one of those days, Jesus went into a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying there. It was so important, the next thing he was going to do that next day, that he spent all night long praying, talking to God. And then the next day, the Bible says that when the morning came, now follow with me quick, let's read it. It said, the morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12. First thing that I want to show you to this is that he called them to him. He didn't call them to go, he called them to him. And as Pastor Tracy said just a minute ago, sometimes God just simply calls you to come next to his footstool and just sit there and be still and be quiet. Don't show God your next juggling trick. Don't try to show him how cool you are. Don't try to show him your next dance, because that impresses him not at all. He just simply says, come and get close to me, because I got something to show you. You think you have something to show me. I've got something to show you. And so he called them to him. And he called his disciples to him. And he chose 12 of them. whom he designated apostles, Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot. Watch out for that one. Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became his traitor, the 12. Could you imagine being chosen by Jesus? Him going up to a mountain, he's already preaching and he's teaching, and all of you, the whole horde, all follows him, but he comes down from the mountain praying all night long, and when he comes down from the mountain, he goes to look out among this motley crew, and he says, I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and you, and he does it 12 times. Couldn't you imagine being chosen by Jesus? I can imagine that, because I remember being the kid that was the last one chosen all the time to play on the team. You remember that? You remember that? When everybody's like, I'm choose him because he can jump high, and I'm going to choose you because you can catch. And I was like, and I feel so good when they look and say, I'm going to choose. And then they choose me. I'm like, yeah. I'm so excited. Can you imagine being chosen by Jesus? And he chose the 12. And let's read on. He chose them. And then it says with this, he says, he went down with them and stood on a level place. And a large crowd of his disciples was there. And a great number of the people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Couldn't you imagine the first assignment after Jesus chooses you? I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you. And they all come, and he says, come on. And they walk down to this level place. And then the next thing that they see is Jesus goes off. He goes into hyper mode. Jesus is just healing and touching everybody. Let me step down here so you can kind of get the picture. He chooses his 12 and he says, come on, y'all. And now they're behind him. And every place he's going, he's touching and laying hands on people. And they're falling out. And he's touching people. And evil spirits are coming out. And people like, arr! He comes by them, touch them. They're like, arr! You know, and couldn't you imagine? And they're just walking behind him everywhere he goes, and they're just watching, and they was like, I know she had a messed up head, and she was crazy, and look at her now, and look at, and I can imagine them just walking behind them, was like, I'm with him, I'm with him, and I can imagine in their minds, though, they're thinking, ooh, 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 go Jesus, go, what, ooh, Jesus, man, I'm on Jesus' team, what? Can you imagine? Couldn't you think about it. Imagine them thinking, ooh, if he doesn't even know them, he didn't even choose them, and look how they getting blessed. Ooh, and that means I'm on his team. Ooh, I'm with him. And then he's just touching people, and people getting healed, and people getting fed, and people getting delivered, and people dead or raising, and Jesus just goes off. And I can imagine them catching people, putting the towel over. Catch her. Help him walk. And they're doing all of this. And I imagine them thinking, when is he gonna bless me? Wait a minute, I'm doing all this work for him. When is he gonna bless me? I'm doing this for him, and I'm catching them for him, and I'm holding this Bible study for him, and I'm taking these people to church for him, and I'm doing this for him, and I'm dancing for him, and I'm doing, when is he going to bless? When is he going to bless me? When is it going to happen for me? When is it going to happen? When is it going to break through for me? I'll just keep on catching, and I'll just keep on helping, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and they keep on, and they never really get what they're looking for. They don't. Read the text. He's just touching everybody else. And I imagine them thinking, why did he choose me then? I felt that thing in the spirit, because I know somebody asked that within the last month. Why did he choose me then? If he's got me sitting like a bump on the log, doing nothing, just helping people, just carrying people to church, just holding a little Bible study, I should be doing more than this right now. I've got all these tricks. I can do all these things. Why isn't he choosing? What did he choose me for? He chose you, first of all, to be with him. There is no other assignment that's more important than to be with him. We just sang a song just a minute ago, and we sung out of our heart. We cried and say, I want to what? I just want to be where you are. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to show you what I'm made of. I don't have to prove anything. If I could just be with you. And the first line of order that Jesus does is he says, okay, come and just be with me. There, because there's something powerful about just being with Jesus. But I imagine him thinking, I'm a part of Jesus' regime. I need a blessing too. Can a brother get some? I'm at Jesus pointing to somebody that healed, and maybe a disciple's right behind him thinking, he's pointing to me. Here's my chance. And it's like, no, it's for her. Let me make it plain. Have you ever seen everybody around you get blessed and you're wondering, when is it going to ever happen for me? Oh, I'm going to preach to you today because I feel that thing in my spirit. I know some people asking, am I really called? Did he really call me? Maybe it was somebody next to me. Maybe it wasn't me. But I got news for you today. Jesus called you. He qualified you. And all you got to do is be with him. Let me show you what happened because they was being with him. I imagine them thinking, why am I here? And while they're thinking, why am I here? Jesus turns and he looks over and all of them. Read the text. It says he looked upon him. He looked upon them. He turns and he, when he looks over there, just standing at there, looking at them, and they're kind of looking not so great, not so incredible, not so important, just chosen to be with him, just catching people as they fall, just helping people with food, just passing out food, just doing simple things, and they don't feel so great and so significant. But the Bible tells us that in that moment, because of their association with Jesus, it pulls something out of Jesus as he watches and looks at his disciples. He looked at them. Side note, he's looking at you. Side note, I want to encourage you real quick. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening in your life, but Jesus is looking at you and he has something for you. And when he sees you, let me tell you something about it. If you think it moved him when he saw the crowds, it really moves him when he sees you as an individual, because what happens next is it pulls something out of Jesus, which we call one of the greatest sermons ever preached. It pulls something that actually today psychologists say that these particular instructions that Jesus gave in these next few passages, they said that if any person is unbalanced mentally, if they follow these passages, it is the perfect prescription for wholeness, for mental wholeness, for physical wholeness, for goodness, just to get yourself back together, to bring yourself back to the middle. It's what we call, go on, hit the next one. It's what we simply call the Beatitudes. Jesus preaches the Beatitudes to them. And there's something locked within the Beatitudes is this. Jesus looked at these guys who were poor, who were hungry, who had no reason to smile, who people talked about them. They separated from them. People even hated them. And they were waiting for some special outward blessing. They were waiting for Jesus to blow on them and them to fall down. They were waiting for Jesus to say, I'm going to take care of you, you're healed, and you have a good business, and this is that. And they were hoping all of those things, and they were poor, and they were hurting, and they were going through. And Jesus looked at them and saw something in them that they didn't see within themselves. You know what he saw? He saw that they were already blessed. That's the message. You missed it. Somebody say already. They were already blessed. They were hoping that Jesus would pass their way, blow on them, lay hands on them, touch them, give them $50, help them out with another fish sandwich. He said, you're already blessed. You're already. Somebody say already. See, he announces to them a truth that they never really actualized, that they were already blessed. Let's read a couple of these verses that he said. It says, verse 20. It says this, and looking at his disciples, I told you he looked at them. He looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the, you already have something. See, there's something about people that got everything. They feel that they can use their everything and they don't need nothing. But when you don't have things and you know that you're hungry, do I have anybody here that's truly hungry? You know you hungry. You know you need Jesus. You know that your cup is empty. One way that I like translating this verse right here is, blessed are those whose cups are half empty, because there's so much more room to be filled by God. Is there anybody here who your cup is empty and you're saying, God, I have room for you to come on in. I got room for you at my end. And people don't want you. People ignore you. People act like they don't need you. But I need you right here, Jesus. Anytime you want to come by, I got room for you. This is what it says. The next one, of course, it says, we just talked about, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now. I thought about this, about my dear friend Sharon Villafranco, who's crying because she lost her baby boy during the season. And I thought, you know how blessed you are. I know it hurts. And the scripture actually says, blessed are you who weep now. This is not to diminish or to say that your pain is no smaller than it actually is. I know your pain is real. I know what you're going through is real. But you know what? Every now and then, when you go through hurt and you go through pain, go through it. Feel it all. Just write about it. Cry about it. Sing a song about it. Because here's the point. Tomorrow will be a new day. And if you get that in your soul, you could cry today and wake up tomorrow and feel yourself and say, oh my gosh, I made it through the night, because weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. I want to tell somebody here today, there is a morning appointment waiting for you if you can just get through your night. So weep during the night, cry during the night, write about it, talk about it, paint pictures about it. You know why? Because one day you'll be able to look at your morning and look back at that night and say, if I made it through that, I can make it through whatever he done, whatever comes my way. He said, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you. When they exclude you and insult you and reject you, your name is evil because you are evil. Notice it doesn't say that. It means, it implies that you following Jesus and living for Jesus. See, some of us, we saying, oh, they just hating on me. They hating on you because you hateful. don't be hateful. But he said there is a level of blessing that comes to those who are living for God and that are hated and excluded. You know what it means to be excluded? Do you know what it means that you, when you walk into your house, when you walk into the living room during this Christmas season, and all of a sudden people stop talking because they really talking about you? And when you came in, they realize that you came in, so they change the subject. Oh, praise the Lord. You know God is good. And you're like, man, you don't even say praise the Lord except two Sundays out of a year. What you talking? Excluded. What does it feel like to be ostracized and excluded? It don't feel like a blessing, but the Bible says you're blessed. Blessed when they insult you and reject you. Your name is evil because of me, the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. One of my favorite preachers, Tony Campolo, he says this. He said that the gospel should be preached in a way that it would give comfort to those who are distressed, and it would give distress to those who are comfortable. I'm going to just let that marinate. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak so well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. I want to talk in the last several minutes here about the idea of the gift of living. What is living truly all about? The gift. Now, like I said, the instruction manual is required, because it will do you no good to simply come here every week and just to say, oh, look at this wonderful gift I got. See the form? It's a bicycle. It's a life. It's a life for Jesus. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. And I'm filled with the precious Holy Ghost, and that with the fire. But you never take out the instruction manual and see how to put that gift together and how to work that gift. If you're doing that, then you're giving a wrong impression of even what the gift of living is about. Have you ever seen anybody give a wrong impression of what something really is? I'm going to say it again. Have you ever seen somebody give a wrong impression of what something really is? It's one of the most terrible things you ever seen in your life. This past week, I got to tell you about this. This is just my little sidebar commercial. I'm going to get back to the word, but this was funny to me. One of the most funniest things. I needed this laugh this week that happened. I don't know if you guys saw it on the news, but how many of y'all seen, and our hearts go out to the Mandela family, the Mandela passed, and then they had the funeral in South Africa, right? How many of y'all heard about the news, what happened on there, when the guy that was while Mandela while President Obama and the other officials were giving the, you know, they were talking, this guy, I don't know where this dude came from. This dude gets up on the stage and he starts signing, because he was supposed to be the sign language man. And so he was supposed to sign out what the officials were saying. But those that looked, and they double checked it when they looked back at the video, this man was not saying anything. He wasn't even signing words. He was just up there signing. It was the funniest thing that I've seen in a long time. I screamed laughing when I started looking at this and thinking about this. My first thought, of course, was kind of a little morbid. I thought, how in the world could he get that close to our president? He was 10 feet away from our president. Now, I don't know about South Africa, but we don't really play it like that, okay? We don't know who this dude is. Don't know your credentials. He's like, I'm the sign man. I'm just going to sign. I'm the sign man. I'm coming up. I feel like I'm trapped, but I'm the sign man here. It may be a tug of war here, but I can do it. So the guy gets up, and the whole time that the officials are giving a wonderful speech, he's just giving gobbledygook. And what was hilarious to me was each time that he finished the sign, he would give back that stance that if anybody is like from South Central, you know this stance right here. That's like you a Crip, bro. You like. Anybody from the hood would say, man, that's a Crip, dude. What you doing? What you up there? I screamed laughing when I look at this, but you know what? Do you know what was funny about that? And you know what's true about that? Some of us do the same thing. God is wanting to speak through us, but we have never read the instruction manual. So we're trying to give our own sign, trying to interpret what God is trying to say. And none of it represents the King who is trying to speak through you. And you think you're really representing Jesus. Just look at somebody and say, please. Just get your Bible and shake it in front of them and say, please, please, please read the instruction manual. Please read the instruction manual. Please read the instruction manual. 9 minutes. Let's get into the word. Instruction number one, when it comes to knowing the instruction manual, instruction number one, learn to love without limits. Learn to love without limits. And you have to learn how this is something you got to put together and love without limits. Look at verse 27 through 31. It says this. It says, but let me tell you, I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking the tunic. Give to everyone who has you, and if someone takes what belongs to you, then not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. How is that living? How is that living? You won't know until you put it together. See, sometimes when I was trying to put that bike together, I said, how does this piece go to this piece? I want a bike. And it said, the instruction just simply said, if you don't do this, you won't get no bike. So put this piece to that piece. You may not understand how it fits together, but if you keep on putting it together piece by piece, it'll come together to just what I said it would be. And you will no longer have a form of the gift without the structure of the real gift. You will have a gift that represents the form and a form that represents the gift. So Jesus, he goes back and says, this is how you truly live, is that you live by loving without limits. Here's the point. Look at this. Here's the point. This is living when love for God and others has the right of control in your life. Oh, I'm going to let that sink in. Listen to it. This is living. This is living. What's living? Living is when love for God and love for others, it has the right of control. See, if your love has a GPS system on it, where you can only love those who you choose to love, and you only allow your love to go where you want it to go, and you only say, this is how much I will love and this how much I'll stop, and when I want to turn left, I'm going to go left on you. Oh, you didn't even hear me there. But some of us have a love that we can control. But I'm going to tell you something about real love. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he couldn't help himself. He had to give the very closest thing that he had because he loves you. He can't. He made a point in his existence, God's existence. He's forever eternal, but he made a point in his existence that he couldn't go on without you. So he gave the closest thing to him to make sure he got you. That's love. That's the type of love that'll cause you to do things that you don't even want to do. That's the type of love that goes beyond phileo love. love. That's the type of love that's not just, I love you because what you do for me. That's the type of love that loves you regardless of what you do for me. If you ever don't ever do anything for me, just know that I love you. That's the type of love that when you want to kick that bad kid out, you'll take him back in one more time and say, come on, we're going to work this thing out. We're going to figure it out. That's the type of love. That's the type of love that has the right to control you. And see, it's scary living like that because you're like, I don't want this love to control me. Because that type of love that controls you got your heart doing things you don't want to do. Got you looking stupid when you don't want to look stupid no more. You want to look like you're in control and then you got it all together. But real love will break you down. Real love will strip you down. But you don't know how to live until you have the type of love that takes you to the limit. Love, can I tell you, well, just a little bit about my love. Let me tell you, love will take you beyond your limit, beyond what you thought you can do. You said, if she do this, then it's over. And you know what real love will do? She'll do it. And you're like, oh, it's over. But I love her. I love her. I love her. Yeah, real love. Real love, real love would be like, if he do that one more time, if he do it one more time, I already said it, so I ain't going to do it. I'm going to close it up. I'm going to throw his number away. I'm not going to call him no more. And real love in the midnight hour. What you doing? I can't sleep because I was just thinking about you. You was thinking about me. And all of a sudden, it just all comes back again. How is that? Because real love, real living is when love for God and love others. Love for others has the right to cause you to dig into your wallet, into that backstash. You know that backstash. You know that side that you don't tell nobody about. And you pull it out and you just give to somebody because God said to give to them. Real love. Let me go on. Real living. Instruction number two. Real living is to practice a love that's worth rewarding. Listen to this. Practice a love that's worth rewarding. Look at verse 32 through 35. Jesus said this. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even, help me out, sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid in full. But if you ever get to the point of loving your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back, then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. You see, the first level of love that Jesus is talking about here is he's talking about what we call a phileo love. That's the Greek, phileo. Phileo, the word Philadelphia, phile means brotherly, brotherly love. It's the love that I have for you, but really that love really reflects the love that I have for myself. Because I love me, now I love you because the way you make me feel. Let me say it like this. See, you don't really love me. You just love the way I make you feel. You love what I do for you. You love that when I come around, it brightens your day or it makes you encouraging. And the fact that you love you so much is that you'll gravitate to me because I make you feel good. That's my boy. That's my boy. I love you. I love you. You my boy. Make me feel good again. Made me feel good. And let me understand, there's nothing wrong with phileo love. Don't dismiss it. Don't cast it out, because there's something beautiful about love. In fact, you better be connected to those that you love and that the fact that they make you feel good. In fact, you better find out how they make you feel good, because if you hadn't found out, you'll be trying to go feel good somewhere else. So you better figure out how to feel good with what you got. So it's nothing wrong with phileo love. That's just the first level of love. In fact, I like to call it the shahu love. Somebody say shahu. That's not Greek. That's not Hebrew. It's Jacksonese. See, because Michael Jackson, he said, the way you make me feel, you really turn me on. You knock me off my feet. Shahu. Ain't that what he said? Shahu. It's a shawu love. It's a type of love that I feel good because the way you feel, may you make me feel when I'm around you. But see, the love of God goes beyond phileo love. And the love of God goes into a place that says, it's not about how you make me feel. It's my love for you, regardless of you ever making me feel good or not. The closest level of love that we have to phileo love is a love for a father. When we have a child and we just love that child. We see that child has a need. We love that child and we just going to help that child because the child needs help. That's why the Bible calls God the Father God, because he loves us regardless whether we know it or not. But see, that love itself, a fatherly love, is still limited. Because a child can break your heart because you don't know what that child is becoming yet. The love of God, the agape level of love, is so powerful that it knows what you're becoming. It knows what you will become in the end. And he still loves you. He still loves you. He still adores you. He still chose to die for you. He still gave his all for you. Is anybody glad that God loves you just because he loves you? Let me close this out. Let me close this out. See, the real level of living number two is when my then and there, Jesus talks about the fact that if you love like this, you'll have a great reward in heaven. And when my then and there begins to influence my here and now. When my fact that if I love the way he tells me to love, it affects the faith. It says, you know what? If I love these people like this, the Bible says I'll have a great reward in heaven. The true level of living is when my then and there, see then and there, I'll have a great reward if I love here and now. So I choose to love how he tells me to love here and now, and it affects my then and there. And my then and there affects my here and now. And when I learn to love how God said, that's real living. That's real living. Let me finish it. The last level of love, as we get ready to close, is when we release the unlimited supply of God's love. Verse 6, 36 through 38, it says this: be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Judging others, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the same measure that you use will be measured to you. Look at this last caption as we get ready to close. See, this is living when life has thrown its worst at me, and I'm still here. How can I love with an unlimited amount of love? Let me tell you how you can love with an unlimited amount of love. See, your problem is you've been loving with your own storehouse of love. You forgot that God has an unlimited amount of love. And when you learn to love with God's unlimited amount of love, then you'll learn how to love and love, and people can do you wrong and you love and people forget about you and you still love and they hate on you and you still love, and you can't really learn how to live the greatest life that you have to live until you learn to love with God's level of unlimited love. When you love like that, then you're loving, you're giving, you're really living. You're not looking around at your life and seeing all the things that you lost. You're not living life with regrets. You're living life at the highest level of living. Isn't that what Jesus came for? He said this. He said, I've come that they may well know what living truly is, and then that they would have an abundance of it, more living than they could ever live out. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. earlier today, we had a time of prayer, and God touched many hearts and souls here. So we don't necessarily have to go back into an altar call unless God deals with you and leads you, and the altar is open. But what I really want to encourage you to do is to take something home with you, to walk out of this door today. With a question of looking at your life and saying, am I using the operation manual? Am I using the instruction manual to get all out of life what's really built into it? So much built into life that we lose out on because we're not reading the instruction manual. But if you begin to open up this instruction manual and you begin to look at your life and the instructions, you might see that they're, oh, I put that together wrong. Oh, I got to take that apart. I can't just lead with my own attitude. I can't be self-willed. Oh, I'm being self-willed. And this says that I should have God's will and I should use God's will. Oh, I'm not being thankful. And the Bible says I should be thankful in all things. And you begin to put your life back together the way that that life was meant to be built. That's my challenge to you this Christmas. Is that you would read and follow the instruction manual. So a simple commitment. Those that want to make it that says, I want to make a new commitment, a new fresh commitment to opening up this instruction manual over these holidays and finding places in it that I can look back at my life and start doing some maintenance and some repair work, tightening up some bolts and undoing some things that were put together wrong. If that's you and you say, I'm going to take the word of God and I'm going to put it into practice in my life. And over this next couple of weeks of this holidays before 2014 comes, because when 2014 comes, I'm going to walk out brand new. I'm going to walk into 2014 rebuilt, remade, connected to the instruction manual, and living life the way it's supposed to be. If that's you all over this building, I want to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the altar.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.